On the Billiken Sports Network from Learfield, this is the Billiken Coaches Show, presented by Edward Jones. Edward Jones is a proud sponsor of Billiken Athletics. Also brought to you by Royal Banks of Missouri, the community bank for your community. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Billikens, Bob Ramsey.
Tom Ackerman with you. Bob Ramsey is in Massachusetts, where he should be, with the men's team. They play UMass tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, 5:45 pregame, holding down the fort here at Westport Social. I remember the first time I walked in here when Bob and Steve O'Loughlin started this place, and I was blown away. And you know what? I just walked in, and I'm blown away again. A lot of people, a lot of TVs, the place to watch college basketball and any sport for that matter. This is where you would want to be for March Madness, without a doubt. A fantastic place. And Westport's a really cool area. So if you're in the area, come on by and enjoy a nice evening. There's going to be a great game tonight, actually. KU at home against Iowa State. Those teams need it, too. Kansas lost to Baylor on the road. And Iowa State somehow got drilled by K-State in Ames, in Hilton Coliseum. So this is a big, big game in the Big 12 for those two. Come out and watch it. I know a lot of KU and Iowa State fans will be here. With us is the head coach of the St. Louis Billikens, Rebecca Tillett, coming off a 59-53 overtime win against Fordham on Saturday night. Great to see you.
Thank you. Great to see you, Tom, as always.
Last time I saw you, we were congratulating you on a great victory, and that was a hard-fought victory at home against Fordham.
It was really a tough team in Fordham. They've played really well in our league thus far. And, you know, both teams were trying to find a way to score in that game that night. Really, really pleased with our defense and excited to be sitting next to Tierra, who had a lot to do with that success.
Yeah, you don't do it without your junior forward, Tierra Simon, who had 19 points and 12 rebounds. That is a career high in points for you that you actually had already set, what, like 2 weeks before that or something like that, in January. Now, here we are watching you yesterday with a tremendous performance, 19 points, 12 rebounds. Congratulations. Tell us about that experience against Fordham. That, as she said, was a hard-fought win.
Yeah, thank you so much. We just go out there. We do what we have to do every day. Personally, I'm trying to get our team back on track, and I take it as a personal assignment. That's why I say I. And it's a team. We go out here. We do what we have to do. We fight. And it was very hard starting in the first half. We came out, slow start. And we ended overtime is what we needed, and we got the dub.
You sure did. And it was. It was a low-scoring game. I mean, that was, what, 18-12 at half, if I recall?
Yes. Even watching the game back, right, both teams just taking good shots, just shots that both teams usually would make that we weren't making. I think both teams were defending, though, really getting down and trying to get in a stance and defend. They were great on the glass, and we knew that going in and had to adjust to that throughout the game.
Yeah, I watched them in warm-ups, you know, where we're situated on your side there. I get to watch them, and they did look like a team that is not only physically imposing, and they can be, but very well-schooled. I mean, well-coached on the glass. There is an art to rebounding, but there's also a motivational tactic to get people to do it. They play with a lot, with ferocity, I would say.
They do, and that's part of why they upset the top team in the rankings currently right now in Richmond. You know, one of the things we were watching in film today, we got out of one possession where we're like, guys, we need to understand, we don't usually get out of this possession, right? Giving up multiple offensive rebounds to Fordham, yet finding a way to stay disciplined, not initiate a foul call on them. So there were some good moments for us in terms of staying the course to get that final rebound, but they put a lot of pressure on us to get the clean first stop.
And Tierra, I want to talk to you about your rebounding and your inside scoring, but I've been calling SLU women's games for a while now. There was something about you that night that I didn't know. You got some range. I mean, you dropped a three early. You dropped a three later. Those were big, big shots for her. Tell us about your outside shooting. Is it something you've been working on? Is it something that was always there?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely something I've been working on, something that has been there, and something that my coaches and teammates are feeling confidence in right now. And again, just doing what my team needs, and right now we need that outside perimeter shot, and I'm willing to knock it down and work on it every day to make the team guard us.
Yeah, she was 2-for-2 beyond the arc, if I recall. Made both of her attempts and open. I mean, they yes. left her open. So I wonder, when it comes to scouting reports, how you kind of counter that. Are you always trying to come up with something that they haven't seen? Because obviously everyone has tape on everybody.
Absolutely. Well, for one, I heard their coaching staff yelling after she hit the second one. They changed the coverage on her after that. I heard their call.
Yeah.
I think for us, we certainly like to game plan against our opponents. And I do think we're unpredictable, especially in what we'll do defensively. So we really try to dig really deep in the research to see what the opposing team might fluster them, or, you know, one of our mantras defensively is dictate and disrupt. So what can we do to make them uncomfortable? Somebody was saying to me, I saw you guys changed up the ball screen coverage a little bit, which we did against them to try to be more disruptive.
Yeah, totally understand. And it can't, when it comes to scouting, this is kind of a really deep inside coaching thing, but I heard Josh Schertz talk about it. He thought that some of the Dayton threes that they made on Friday night, that was a scouting thing, you know, that they were, it was the way they were guarding those flare screens that they wanted to go, I think, over them, and they went underneath them.
Yep.
And the problem, sometimes it'll happen. Scouting reports, can you get into that a little bit, how detailed they are?
Yes.
How far in advance? So typically it's one assistant. Yep. That you will select to scout that particular opponent. How far in advance do you start scouting a Fordham, let's say?
Yeah. Assistant coaches start 7 to 10 days in advance. I still scout, which is unusual for head coaches. I don't start as far in advance as them because I'm focused on the game at hand. When we first got to SLU, we had some people give us some feedback on our scouts, and they were like, those are so detailed. And we're like, they are. However, there's so many teaching methods to which we deliver that information, right? So you're starting the preparation 2 days in advance. There's film work, you know, on the 2 days before the game starts, and then you're looking through those plays and running the opponent's, you know, actions together. And then the report itself is long, and then you finalize with another film session. So you're hopefully hitting every learner, right? The ones that like to read it, the ones that like to go through it kinesthetically and be doing it on the court, and those who like to watch it on film. So hopefully through that process, it's the same scout and all those things, but you're trying to hit each learner.
Yeah, and it's very beneficial to you, I know, to have a little information, Tierra. And it was beneficial to me when I used to travel with Mizzou basketball, and we would go and I'd fly with the team, and I would be in on those hotel ballrooms where you guys are going through walkthroughs. Incredibly beneficial to me to be able to see what you were expecting to come. But there is so much that goes into it, isn't there, Tierra? I mean, it's right. There can't be too much information for you. You got to have all the info you can.
Yeah, I mean, when I first got here, I definitely said it was super detailed, but every detail matters, literally from the top to the bottom, offense, defense. It all matters, and I think they prepare us every game, day in, day out, and all the work that they do that goes into those detailed scouts really matters, and it shows how much time and attention that our coaches pour into our opponents.
Yeah, all the way down to, like, no, they don't catch it here. They like to catch it here. No, not here, here. I used to watch Rick Majerus over and over and over stop practice and say, you know, I want you to enter this angle, or I want you to defend at this particular angle.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'd watch the – how often would you say you're watching tape of a team and the same thing over and over and over? Will you rewind something and watch it just all night long?
Oh, for sure. And, of course, Majerus was one of the best teachers of the game, right? So the fact that you got to sit in and see those, you know, small detailed moments. I think even when we're watching the film, right, you're looking at ideally all five players moving together. Yet sometimes to see that, you need to watch the clip over and over. And I think one thing we say to our women is we don't need any one person, including the scout coach, to remember every single detail of the scout. Yet if all of us remember something and execute that in the game, so we're big on our bench being able to help, especially in the first half defensively. We should have a great first half. We've got an entire bench of teammates ready to help execute the scout where our team can hear us. So if everybody remembers one detail and we are able to utilize that to win one possession, win a one possession game, that's all you need.
Absolutely. There's a lot of chatter going on that bench, isn't there, Tierra? During the game, on the court, is defense also about communication? You have to be able to tell people what's going on.
100%. Our bench is a big factor in the way we play, and we always talk about everybody matters. The five on the court, the other six or seven, however many players we have on the bench, everything matters. And the communication that they give us throughout the game, and then at the beginning of the game, because at the end of the game you don't have it, so you have to be able to defend with the five on the court. And it's something we really talk about, and we go deep down in that our bench is important. And when you come to the bench, your energy needs to be where it is as if you were on the court, or you need to know this. It's no days off, I would say. And everybody is a part of this.
Make the most of those 40 minutes. And then there's also, you know, the fun of it. I mean, when you're executing and things are going your way, it is a lot of fun. But, man, that game in particular was a grind. You had to find a way. Fordham found a way to make it a game. I mean, they scored, what, 26 points in the fourth quarter, which was, I think, more than they scored the entire game up to that point.
Yeah.
That was just amazing. It shows that, you know, the other side, the Atlantic 10, there's just no rest ever.
No.
I mean, it's an unbelievable league.
It really is. And you and I talked, I think, before about this, but I say this to our women every year. There's not going to be an undefeated team in our league, and there's not going to be a team that doesn't win a game. And it's already true, right, this time of the year. So just have to be prepared every single time. And not just the preparation, but the will and the mentality of we have to bring it. We have to bring our best in order to rise up and meet these expectations.
And you had to meet the challenge of that Fordham team being a good rebounding team. Here's one of the best rebounders in the country right here. I haven't looked at your current stats, but I'm going to bet you're over 10 rebounds per game now.
Right.
With your 12, you were at 9.9. So you got to be 10 or higher, which is an amazing figure. Tell me about your philosophy on rebounding. Obviously, effort is a huge part of that. But how do you, what are you seeing out there when you're going for a board?
Like you said, effort, motivation, the want to want go rebound the ball. And also we do something, a drill called hit box again. It's something we put in late in our season last year. It's something I try to do my best. I'm not the best at it, but timing the ball, seeing where it comes off, making sure that the opponent is not in a space where I can't get it. We learn how to swim around the opponents and just not letting up, honestly, on getting the rebound. And just wanting to have that rebound is very important, and it's a part of my game, and I know it's something I'm good at, so I want to keep it up.
Yeah, Charles Barkley used to say, my technique is go get the damn ball, you know, and it really is part of that. You know, it is the want to do it, but I love that breakdown right there of the drills. You know, for the young players listening and young coaches listening, I coach an eighth grade girls team, and I was telling them, because we were struggling to rebound the ball for whatever reason, like kids are just getting bigger, stronger. I said, I need you that when the ball goes up in the air, find somebody. I want that to be your first thought. Is that a good way to go about it? Find somebody. Put a body on them.
It is.
No matter where you are on the court, even.
It is. We even changed our teaching technique last year to hit. Like, you're actually going to find them to stop their progress. And one of the things that Tierra is referencing is when we're on the offensive side of the ball, we don't want anyone to stop our progress. So if someone gets in our way, then we're going to find a way around them. Don't let somebody get in the way of where you're trying to go. But defensively, that first initial contact will get a lot of people to stop going. And so you want to make that. But then technique matters, right? You know, I think the great thing about our game is you can be any type of human and play our game great if you invest the time. You can be fast. You cannot be fast. You can be really strong. You can be, you know, a great shooter, a great technique player. You can find your niche in our game if you love it enough.
I love watching Markavius Shavers play, too. I mean, and the two of you can be somewhat interchangeable, but the two of you also can be on the floor together. And when that happens, good luck getting the basketball. She's a fun player to be with, isn't she? Good rebounder.
I've actually been playing with Markavius for my third year. We went to JUCO together. I learned a lot from her, actually, in my time there. We are able to play here together. We committed together on our visit. A story not a lot of people know. And it's really fun playing with her. She's motivated to go rebound the ball. And she has a lot in her talent-wise. And it's fun playing together on the court and being able to share that time together.
Yeah, I bet. I want to get into that, actually. I'll tap into that story a little bit.
It's a good one.
Pearl River Community College, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm, right.
That we'll get into that in a little bit. But rebounding from your guard position, Julia Martinez was so good at it.
She was.
What do you identify there for those long rebounds and the ability for guards to keep it going? Because you have some people that can do that too.
We do. And for one, we say on the defensive side of the ball, all five are supposed to be rebounding. It's not, you know, all five of us are supposed to be focused on that. And for guards, sometimes if your guard that you're defending is not going in to pursue it, that doesn't change your role. You're still going in to pursue it. And then we have a phrase that we've been saying for years, good things happen when guards rebound, right? You eliminate the outlet pass, you're immediately initiating transition, and then some of our players have the capability to go coast to coast on a defensive rebound. So really, really important to us that our guards rebound and our posts rebound. We call our posts versatile posts. They're VPs. Yeah, they can do a lot.
I like that. The VPs. And they certainly do. It was a fun game. The Billikens won it over Fordham 59-53 in overtime on Saturday. We're going to go back to that, but also talk to Rebecca Tillett, Tierra Simon, St. Louis University basketball, about their upbringings in hoops, about basketball and the women's game. But also, we continue on until 8 o'clock at a great place, Westport Social. Did you guys get the wings?
We did.
St. Louis Magazine. I saw that this morning. St. Louis Magazine had the wings at Westport Social in their top wings in all of St. Louis. I think they were like top 10. So those wings are on the way. I can't wait to see. I'm going to order some myself. Westport Social with the Missouri Sports Hall of Famer, Jim Jackson. I'm Tom Ackerman. We will be back with more from Westport right after this. It's the Billiken Coaches Show from Learfield with Rebecca Tillett, Tierra Simon, Jim Jackson. I'm Tom Ackerman. We're at Westport Social. We have moved here from the campus of St. Louis University in Humphreys to the fabulous Westport Social. Tonight's show coming to you from this great place. It's like this sprawling playground for adults. You have games everywhere. They even have a karaoke room here. They have TVs all over the place. Phenomenal food. It's a great place to hang out, watch sports, and relax, and that's exactly what we're doing here on the Billiken Coaches Show until 8 o'clock. It's great to be with you. The Billikens with a 59-53 overtime win over Fordham on Saturday. I'm always happy when we do the show after a win. If it was after a loss, we'd still be fine. We'd break it down and everything, but it feels good to win. And Rebecca Tillett, it feels good to be on a path fresh and fresh. Do you look at months differently? So you're like, okay, that's over. February, we're 1-0. We just beat Fordham. Let's see what we can do next. And we know what's ahead of us.
You know, I think certainly the season gets broken down into different parts. And one of our former staff members texted me after the Davidson win and said, February Billikens loading. And I shared it with the team. Because we have had a lot of success in February. No, I do think there is, right, the climb to the conference tournament. And you want your team to be hungry to be ready to play in the conference tournament. We always talk when you get close to the tournament. There's some teams that don't want to play anymore. There's some people that don't want to be in the room together anymore, and we never want to be that type of team. We want to be fighting for those additional practices.
There has to be an extra gear when things aren't going your way. And when they are, though, it really boosts confidence within the team, and you've been dealing with a lot. Injuries, other issues going on. Illnesses do happen this time of year. I mean, it's just one of those deals.
It is part of it. And, you know, you always try to keep it in perspective because you're – opposing teams are dealing with the same thing, right? They're having injuries at different times or illnesses at different times. And I think to Tierra's point is we're trying to stay on the right path together. And when we know that when this group is on the right path, moving in the right direction, we're really, really dangerous. We've got a few things to shore up defensively, a few things to shore up offensively. We really like the culture path we're headed on right now.
Not many coaches that cut down nets 3 years in a row. Tournament, back-to-back, and then winning the WNIT is a big deal. Do you guys feel that also? Is that talked about, I should say? The fact that the season's ended on a high note each and every time under her watch?
And we talk about it, but each and every year it's a – we use this reference, talk about the mountain. Every year you got to start at the bottom of the mountain and climb your way back up to the top. And every year is something different. You're dealing with new people, sometimes new staff, new players. You have to learn how to play with each other all over again. But the goal is always the same, to win a championship. So, and then we are always talking about championships. The reason I came to this team, because it's always been championship-based, also family-based, but it's a something about a pride in winning. And when adversity hits, we always trying to find solutions. It's never heads down. We are with solution finding, and that's one thing I really like about this program.
I always say that SLU is a basketball school, and when I say that, I mean that the language of basketball is spoken there. I mean, it's just when you there's something about the history there and the people, Tierra. Did you feel that when you came to SLU? Once you kind of got into it and you settled in and adjusted that there was a difference? What was going on here?
Definitely. If I could remember back to when I first moved here from Houston, my teammates, coaches, some I hadn't met before, everyone helped move me in, no problem, was there at a set time, made me feel so welcomed and comfortable. And as the season progressed, we got to know one another, we made big runs, big plays, and it's one thing about this team is family, and it's always going to be family-based, whether you can see it from the outside or not. We do things with love and with joy, so this culture of the school and the program in general has been absolutely amazing.
And you got the facilities to go along with it, the O'Loughlin Family Champion Center, and all these things that continue on. It's big-time basketball at SLU. Now, you mentioned you grew up in Houston.
Yes.
You went to Prairie View A&M, which is right outside of Houston.
Right.
That was your freshman year.
Right.
Then you transferred to Pearl River Community College. That is in Mississippi,
yes.
But not far from New Orleans.
Not
far. Tell me about that transition first, from one school to the next, and where were you in your college career?
Yeah, still very young, making young decisions and trying to find my way. From Prairie View to Pearl River Community College out of Poplarville, Mississippi, about an hour and a half outside of New Orleans. It was very different for me. It was in a rural area, not much city. I'm driving 40 minutes to get to the city. I'm from Houston, like I said. And basketball-wise, it was very intense. It's literally like you're fighting for your life there. Like you're trying to make it to the next level. And so that's all you're focusing on. So you have to do good. Like that's the mindset I had, the motivation I had. You always have to have like what we say, this dog mentality, to go out there and fight for what you want so you can get to that next level. And I know I only had 1 year there, so I had to do what I needed to do to get to the next level, and where I found lovely Tillett there. And now I'm here in my second year here, and it's been amazing the growth I've made here. Tillett has been a big part of that, and she's never stopped investing in me, infusing confidence in me, in all that I do. And, you can see it translating over into my game.
How'd you get her?
Goodness, well, you hire great people, right, that know who to look for. So Coach Tiff, who was on our staff at the time, brought her name to the table. And then I flew out to watch her and Markavia and loved both of them right away. Tierra, in my first initial evaluation of her, I thought she had something really special in rebounding. And we now say that, like, her hands are like superhero. I mean, really, some of the balls that she's able to pull down or grip that just most people cannot get their hands on. And then she knows this, but I do think in the time that we've spent together, I've seen just a tremendous amount of growth. And I think that's, number one, attributed to Tierra, right? She made the decision to grow. And then I think also her teammates and her coaching staff and everyone has poured into her as well. But she had to want that, and she had to want to grow in that space. And so as a coach, you just are so excited when young women make those leaps and bounds.
What did you think? Tell me about the recruitment. St. Louis University comes calling. Tell me how that happened.
Right. At the time, I really couldn't even remember, but I remember when my coach had mentioned St. Louis University, and I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
I have no clue what this school is. And then later on down the road, I started researching the schools that have my name on their list, and something stuck out about St. Louis. It didn't have a football team. That's the first I ever heard of a college school not having a football team. So I was like, okay, so this program is surrounded by basketball, and as she said, Coach Tiff is who recruited me, so I spent a lot of time talking to her. And she just really talked a lot about what the coaching staff was like and told me what it would be like if I would play for their team. And when I came on my visit, I could feel it, the energy, the people, the love, the joy. And also came on one of their senior nights, and they got a big win over LaSalle, I want to say. And it was just big, and you want to see a team that you're thinking about going to be successful. And throughout their recruitment process, in the beginning, they wasn't having the best season, and they ended winning the A-10 championship. So that speaks to a lot to who the team was and also the coaches. So I just think in the recruitment process, I thought a lot about all of that. And all that to say is, you can face adversity and your coaches and teammates know how to handle it, and you still can come out on top at the end. And that's what I liked about it. And I also, once again, I keep talking about family, love, and joy. You could feel that, and that's something I always wanted to be a part of, also while winning. So that's what my recruitment process was and why I chose St. Louis.
And the campus, which is located in Midtown, just west of downtown St. Louis, is an urban campus. There's a lot going on. There's great restaurants right around there. There's a lot of life and excitement. Now, you come from Houston, which is a big, big city, one of the biggest cities in the country, but you felt, I'm sure, some comfort there. You just mentioned you were in a rural area before that. Now you're in the city.
Yeah.
Had to feel good and somewhat familiar.
Definitely feels amazing. I love being able to drive and just get straight on the highway or go to a local gas station or just go to some of my favorite food spots around and be able to see and do new things in the city that I've never done, like visiting the Arch or, you know. So the city was a big deal for me because I could not be in the rural again.
Yeah, Houston's a cool town. I haven't been to Houston since 2016. I went to the Final Four there and enjoyed my time there. I should know this. Did you know Shawn Anyamele?
Yes. Well, I didn't have a personal relationship with her, but I knew of her and I knew who she was, and she worked out with a couple of trainers I also worked out with. So I wouldn't say I knew her, but I knew of her, and she was well known around Houston.
I said this on the broadcast Saturday night. I'm like, when there was a dead ball, I'm like, folks, remember I said this. Keep your eye on her. Yes. She is going to be one of those players that just – when you need the ball in her hands late in the game, that's the one you want. She's really developing into a player.
She really is. We actually did some end-of-game scenarios today, and she made some really good decisions in those reps. We're excited for her growth and her progress. Yeah, she's really growing.
Strong player. She's got some strength and a good player. And Houston's a great basketball town, isn't it? You got some talent down there.
Yeah. Sean's great. A freshman who's willing to work and invest the time that she needs to in the court. Now I definitely see her developing into a big scorer.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch. I think that the entire lineup itself just has so many interesting pieces. I mean, you've got the speed, but you have the size inside. You have some shooting, but you also have defense, and you can win that way. There are a lot of different ways, I feel like, Rebecca Tiller, that you can win a ball game if you have to.
I think that's what we've been learning about our team. Some of it by choice and some of it not by choice, right? With Peyton missing a few games this year. We think that when we get this team at their absolute best, which really is the journey of a season, right? You want them playing their absolute best in the tournament to earn an opportunity to go to the NCAA tournament and then play your absolute best there. So I definitely think we're trending in the right direction, have a couple different ways we can do things to be successful. And I'm really looking forward to and enjoying each practice right now and still learning with this team. They're fired up to go fly up to St. Joe's tomorrow and get ready to hopefully knock off another top team.
Yeah, you brought up Peyton. It is a good point because you did win that. You overcame that even when Peyton just can't do what she wants to do. And you can tell. You can tell that she just can't do what she normally does.
Yeah, the good news is we are making progress. Like, the injury is healing. It's just how fast, how quickly can we get her to playing with less pain. She looked good today, felt good today, so we're just hoping for better days. And then one day, hopefully it's not going to hurt at all. And then she'll be playing at her absolute best.
Because she gets minutes. So obviously you're using her smarts. She knows the game. There are a lot of things that don't show up on the sheet that can win a ball game, right?
Absolutely. I know for her, she just wants to feel good. And as a coach and teammates, we just want her to be able to play without pain. And so we're working towards that, but really excited. And she's been helping us in other ways. But today, she looked really good on the court.
Yeah, great win for you. By the way, let me update my stats from last segment. 10 rebounds per game for Tierra Simon, 25th in the country right now in terms of rebounds per game. That's big-time stuff right there from Tierra Simon, who's with us. Rebecca Tillett is with us. I'm Tom Ackerman. We're at Westport Social. The Billiken Coaches Show from Learfield. From Westport Social, it's the Billiken Coaches Show from Learfield. Tom Ackerman with you. Billiken coach Rebecca Tillett is with us. Billiken forward Tierra Simon is with us. And we are here until 8 o'clock, but this place will be here much longer than that. Come on by. 8 o'clock, they're going to tip off from Allen Fieldhouse. It'll be the Jayhawks taking on the Cyclones, KU, and Iowa State. A couple of teams that really need it after taking some L's over the weekend. College basketball was crazy on the men's side. There were upsets left and right over the weekend. Man, I'll tell you what. I am, as everyone knows, you know, a Cardinals guy. I mean, I've been with the Cardinals for 28 years now, believe it or not. I grew up in St. Louis, so baseball is a huge, huge part of my life. Football, you just go right down the line. I love, there isn't a sport that I don't enjoy or study. But there is something incredibly special about March Madness on both the men's and women's side. It's up for grabs. Anybody can take it. Yeah. And I mean, any team can rise up and do it, as you proved a couple of years ago. What a fun time of year.
It really is. You know, it's funny, we talk about rebounding on the free throw line, and we tell our team if we give up a rebound on the free throw line, that every year in the NCAA tournament, somebody loses their dream of advancing by giving up a rebound on the free throw line, offensive rebound on the free throw line. And that kind of hangs in the balance of what you're trying to achieve in those moments in the NCAA tournament. You know, for us as a staff, it's just how many women can we give that opportunity, right? You know, Tira had the opportunity to win a WNIT championship. She also would love the opportunity to go to the NCAA tournament. So what it takes as a team to earn that opportunity, and then the magic that happens to get there, and then once you get there, the experiences that young people have, it's really special.
The WNIT, look, the NCAA tournament was great, I'm certain. I mean, to be there and to be able, and you won one in with Longwood.
Yes.
You beat Mount St. Mary's.
Mount St. Mary's, yep.
In the first four. And then the second year at SLU, you know, obviously you get a tough one, you got to go to Knoxville and play Tennessee, but what a cool experience. But you win the A-10 tournament, you're in the NCAA tournament. There's something about last year that sticks with me, that you didn't get to go to the NCAA tournament, yet you still made something out of this, and you went on and won an entire tournament. I mean, winning the WNIT feels like a very, very big deal, and it took a lot to get yourselves to that level. Or did it? Or were you confident that you could go make a run?
We felt like we were building in the A-10 tournament. Then we had the unfortunate injury during the semifinals that we do think impacted how we emotionally played and coached in that game, because when you care so deeply for a teammate and they get injured in the way that our teammate was injured, you know, there's a response to that. As Tiara mentioned, love, family, like that's your family member that you're worried about. So we did feel like we were trending in the right direction, thought we had a real chance in the A-10 tournament. So then when the opportunity came up and Chris and I are discussing the options for, you know, continuing on in WNIT, and one of the things we talked about is this team's not done yet. Like, they're not done growing. Their story's not done. And so then to have the opportunity, and the very first game we had was Central Arkansas, I think, and the scout coach is telling me they haven't lost a single game at home. And you're like, that is not what I wanted to hear in preparation for our first opponent in the WNIT. But then, you know, I think long-term, what will that WNIT run teach our team, teach our St. Louis women's basketball program? Right? To make deep runs in the tournament, you have to go win games in a row, right? And the only way you can win a postseason national tournament is to win 6 games in a row. And that's what our team figured out to do, which in the long term is what we want to be able to do, make runs in the deep runs in the NCAA tournament. So I think the preparation that gave us in order to propel the program forward was invaluable.
Now, you play a taxing conference schedule. I mean, the A-10 is grueling, but is it harder in a tournament setting to do that, because you're playing sometimes on consecutive days, but in, mm-hmm. in your case, playing in every other day break and then every other day?
Yeah, I think there's parts of it that are more challenging, and then there's parts of it that are freeing. So the parts that are more challenging is condensed prep. They might do something that you haven't seen in conference play. Maybe you haven't even faced that style since non-conference. The freeing part is they don't know you as well as your conference opponent. So you get in there and it's going to be how deep did they study you, and you know about your team. Hey, 15 games ago, somebody ran this game plan on us and it really bothered us, but we haven't seen it for 15 games. Well, in a WNIT run or an NCAA tournament run, you'd have to be a really, really good scout coach to go all the way back 15 games to find that piece of information. So when you get into that tournament setting, some of your stuff that maybe you were having to work really hard to get to run well in conference play, defense or offense, now runs a little bit smoother in that environment.
That's well explained. Tier, what was the experience like for you? A WNIT title last year.
Yeah, man. That run was absolutely insane to me. I never thought we would be in that position, and I've never been on the championship team before, so that was my first time. And making that run as a unit, as one, felt really good. Having those long days, the bus rides, because in the WNIT, your budget is different. And that's not something we normally do, but it's something you grow to love because you get that extra opportunity with your teammates that a lot of people are not doing. A lot of people don't get to play until April. So that whole journey was so incredible to me. It was something I will forever have a memory of and always cherish. And once we got to that championship game, it just felt so good to be able to win it all and just know that all your hard work paid off and that you could have something attached to your name for the rest of your life.
As you were getting closer to the championship game, did your confidence increase? Did your energy increase, even though you know that physically it's a very demanding situation that you're in? You're playing extra games, but did you get a little extra out of that,
right,
knowing that the prize was there?
Yes, of course. After every game, we just kept saying, one more, two more, three more. However many more games we had left to go, we were saying that after every win. And we all wanted it so bad. So I think that's what it all came down to, the who wanted it more. And that's what it was.
Did you always play basketball? Were there any other sports for you growing up?
I played a lot of different sports. I started in track, I cheerlead. I did T-ball as a kid, volleyball. Volleyball was my main other sport once I got to high school, and then I stopped shortly after. Basketball was my passion since.
Was basketball first? Do you remember, or were there?
No, it was volleyball, cheerleading, track, and then basketball
and
was
then
very
basketball.
Last.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, here you are. And for you now, you were playing soccer too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you were captain of your high school team. Did you play soccer in high school as well?
I did, both. Our family is like prerequisite.
Yeah,
you
guys
do both.
Like, everybody's coaching in your
everybody's
family.
Coaching. Everybody's in soccer and basketball.
Yeah. And then, you know, basketball obviously was the passion probably before you even knew.
It really was. And I think for me, I was a better soccer player than I was a basketball player. Yet the strategy in the game of basketball just always held my attention. And, you know, being a coach's kid, my dad coached both. He coached soccer and basketball. My mom coached soccer. So just being around the game, falling asleep in the bleachers, you know, watching all those games. I think I probably knew that I wanted to be a coach subconsciously before I knew consciously that that's what I was going to do. The first team I ever coached was a boys' team. I was a high school kid volunteering, coaching some, you know, like 12-year-old boys. And that's the first team I ever coached.
How'd that go?
It went well. Yeah, I think in the game, if you know your stuff and, you know, I'm certainly intense and passionate even then about the game. And the boys respected that, and we played well.
And you coached high school, then you became an assistant in college. I could do a whole hour with you, and I will at some point, to talk about the Naval Academy.
Yes.
Because I've been, and I just think that's an amazing experience. I believe you were there 4 years
assistant. Yeah.
And then the opportunity at Longwood, and here you are at St. Louis University. And I'll tell you what, Tierra, I'm going to say something about her, is that I'll bet that if a team sees her coming in a tournament, they're like, oh no. I mean, this is someone who knows how to coach in a tournament.
Right.
That reputation probably follows you, that she has made it to tournaments. She's been successful in those. So you just, you know, who knows what could happen.
Right, adjustments. I think she knows how to adjust really well, and that's what brings her this success, the ability to be able to adjust and learn your opponent and be able to put time and effort into what you're doing. And like she said earlier, by the time you get to February, the end of February, March, people are tired of playing. Most teams are tired of playing. They're ready to get away from each other. But her, she's digging deeper. How can we stay together longer? How can we figure this out together? And that's what it's about. And you want to be around people like this. And I think it's super important. And that's why she has so much success in her career, is because she's willing to figure it out, solution find, and just be able to make changes.
I guess there are only so many games you get to wear a college uniform. You know, what a special place and time for these women.
It really is. And I think, you know, you think about the opportunities that we all had, whether we played sports or didn't play sports, college has a huge impact on your life. So how do we make this time that they're together so special? And then certainly I have a deep belief in teams and what teams are capable of doing, and that if you put a group of people together and you get them all going the same direction in any cause, whether that's sports or life or your family, you can create really special situations for anybody that's impacted by that group. And so when you're coaching a team and you see them start to get the togetherness, when you see them face adversity and figure it out, when you see them care more about the success of their teammate than the individual stats of the night, then you know that that team has an opportunity to do something special.
We're going to have you again on the air Saturday. I'll have your game Saturday against LaSalle. But before then, you have a road game. We're going to tell people about that when we come back, as we wrap things up from Westport Social, the Billiken Coaches Show with Rebecca Tillett, Tierra Simon, Jim Jackson. I'm Tom Ackerman from Learfield. Well, our final 2 minutes here at Westport Social with Tierra Simon, head coach Rebecca Tillett from the St. Louis University women's basketball team. I'm Tom Ackerman. The Billikens won on Saturday. They beat Fordham by a final of 59-53 in overtime. That one was really something. I mean, it was a low-scoring affair, and then both teams got after it in the fourth quarter. Fordham was able to send it to overtime, and the Billikens end up winning that one 59-53. Now for SLU, they go on the road to take on St. Joseph's. They're good. They're 18-4 overall. Tell me about them a little bit.
They're really good. They're veteran. They've been together a good amount of time. They've got everybody back, minus one starter from last year. Really excited to play them. Unique place to play in terms of, you know, the last time we were there. So really looking forward to our women. You know, strategy is going to be a big part of it. They don't foul. They've got some really highly ranked national statistics, including sharing the ball. They shoot the ball well, and they don't foul. So you really have to stay determined to figure out how to score against them and not be concerned about lack of fouls, and just really get after it. It should be a great game.
And, Tierra, congratulations on all you've done up to this point, and good luck in that game. Look forward to seeing you back home on Saturday with another W as you take on LaSalle.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you. And I'll see you on the court talking about that game and more as we get ready for LaSalle on Saturday night.
Appreciate you so much, Tom.
Thank you. Thank you to Jim Jackson. Thank you to Tierra Simon. Thank you to Rebecca Tillett. It is Billiken basketball coming to you from Westport Social. Now, tomorrow night, we have the men's game. Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr. will have the call, 5:45 pregame. It's a 6 o'clock, a little bit after tip, as they visit UMass, as the Billikens try to bounce back from their loss at home to Dayton on Friday. Thanks for joining us. This has been Billiken basketball from Learfield.